Okay, let us commence. And do Proverbs 9, verse chapter 9. Psalms, Proverbs. I have a little stamp on this. I put on my letters that I mail to people. 9:8. Go ahead, Melania.
9:8. Do not reprove a scoffer, lest he hate thee. Reprove a wise man, he will love thee.
Yeah, so really simple. Do you want reproof? You're a wise man. If you don't want reproof, what are you? A scoffer.
Yeah.
Here's what a scoffer, that's also a scorner. A scorner may be described as proud and haughty, incorrigible, resistant to reproof, and hating any rebuke, wisdom, and knowledge. And wisdom and knowledge easily eludes him. And it's the word "eludes" in Strong Numbers 03887.
The word what?
Eludes. That's how it's pronounced. L-O-O-T-S. Eludes. It's spelled like L-U-W-T-S. But eludes. But I thought, you're either a scoffer and you hate it, and I don't know who people voluntarily say, I'm a scoffer, or you're going to say, thank you very much for reproof. Now we keep going to chapter 3, verse 12.
Chapter 3.
Proverbs. Let's get in Proverbs for a minute. 3:12. For whom Yahweh loveth, he what? Correct us. That's reproof. He causes pain to the son in whom he delighteth. Very simple. Oh, that's what I want. 25:12 of Proverbs. A ring of gold and a vessel of precious metal is a wise reprover on a hearing ear. Isn't that good? A wise reprover on a hearing ear. 28:23. The Proverbs has many of these. He that reproveth a man shall afterwards find more favor than he that uses a flattering tongue. So generally, if we want to have friends who really like us, do we reprove them or do we flatter them? We flatter them, you know, because obviously most people do not want reproof. And if most people don't want reproof, what are they called?
Scoffers.
You know, which are like, really? They hear, he that reproves the man shall afterwards find more favor than he that seeth a flattering tongue. We go to Job, Job Psalms, so Job 5:17. Everything contrary to what our human nature wants. 5:17 through 26. Well, I don't know if we'll read the whole thing. But
there is no... Oh, I'm looking at Esther.
Job 5, verse 17. And this is a whole paragraph, and you can go ahead and read the whole thing, but I'm just going to read the first line. Lo, how happy is the man who Eloah correcteth. Therefore, the chastising of the Almighty do not thou refuse. How happy is the man who Eloah correcteth. Therefore, the chastising of the Almighty...
Chastening.
The chastening of the Almighty do not thou refuse. For, and then it goes on to explain why in that paragraph. We have a lot of verses, so we're not going to necessarily go through that. Now, the question is, are you a scoffer? You know, so we go back to Proverbs 15. Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Aaron and I, you know, obviously, people know me. I have no problem on issuing reproof. You know, and if it's scriptural, then, well, I mean, very so. I have no problem on that because I don't really care if people like me or not. And so there's a point there. It's like if a person really wants relationships, generally that's not going to be, you know, because people do not want reproof, as we know that. But we should say, all of us need reproof. And we should say, well, Father, you know, you know people, you listen to the Christian stations, right? Do they need reproof?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very simply. And do you mail them things? Do you contact them, you know, to be able to do things like that? Because when you're teaching error, you know, I just heard a teaching yesterday by Kenneth Copeland. And that's different whether you contact these people. But here he's explaining a vision that he had. And he had this vision. And all of a sudden he sees it. And so I've got this on the recording of the video. But here's a big table. And in comes the door is the Father. God the Father comes walking in. And sits at a table right across from him. Boy, that's great. Look at that God. And then all of a sudden Jesus comes and walks into the room. And sits on the other side, on his right hand side. He's going, boy, this is an exciting, wonderful time. And then somebody else came through the door. Who is that? It's the Holy Spirit. Now he's coming in. What's he going to say on the left side? No, that doesn't sound right. But then he walks around to me and says, I'm in you, I'm going to do this, and on and on and on and on. This is his teaching. All right, he's 80-some years old. Now, are there three entities there that he has viewed?
Yeah.
Yes, he has definitely viewed three different individual entities, right? Is he going to call them all gods? Yes, he is. And so is that polytheism?
Yeah.
Yes, that is. And here is Kenneth Copeland, who's been teaching the word for 40 or 50 years. And right out there, you've got three individual entities that are sitting at your table, and that's death. And I thought, it's really death that what you're communicating to the public. You're breaking the first and second commandment right off the bat. And so, do you want to know about that?
No.
Yeah, I mean, no, but do you really want to know about that? I mean, do you really want to go meet Christ and be able to say, you're back in the back of the line? Well, I served you for 50 years, 60 years. You really did. You served yourself. Because you broke my first and second commandment right off the bat. So you're like, okay. So we've got to realize that is, back to our reproof. You know, you have to say, well, obviously we're all wrong. We all need reproof. And so be looking for it and asking Yahweh to send it. And since I can't see it, and it's going to be coming from either from his word or from a person. So be looking for those person and asking for those persons to contact me. And instead of pushing them away, we should say, invitation, please, if there's something that I am doing wrong, show me, reprove me. Now, obviously, if it's a personal opinion, you know, a person should wear this color or this color. And I mean, you get into a lot of things like that. And that is, that is really taste and opinions of what people do. But what we're talking about, if a person is a homosexual, is there any doubt that that's wrong?
No.
No. You contact them, very simply. That's what I'm talking about. Now we go into, are you a scoffer? So Proverbs 15, verse 12. A scoffer loveth not one who reproves him. Unto the wise does he not go. You know, it is really simple. And I did like one thing. You know, who won the Super Bowl?
Patriots?
No, I mean at college.
They had a Super Bowl.
Last year.
Alabama?
No, they got to beat Alabama. You know, Taylor. The quarterback's Taylor. I forget his name. Not LSU, but it's the other guy. The guy, he says, criticism doesn't bother me. I only accept criticism from people I respect. I would never ask for somebody's opinion about me if I did not respect what they have to say. And so when they say things about me, I could care less. I don't value their opinions. And that's the same way we should do with, you know, with in our lives.
Tell like Clemson?
Clemson. Yeah, they won the Super Bowl. I mean, not the Super Bowl. They won the national championship.
Really
Clemson.
Confusing.
And he's a Christian. But the very simple thing is, if we want reproof, then we need to contact people that are wise. And we actually expect their judgment to say, hey, here's my life. What do you see? Okay. And if you want to get better, okay, we go to 19, chapter 19, verse 25. The scoffer thou shalt smite, and the simple will beware. But correct a man of intelligence, he will understand teaching. Isn't that funny? Correct a man of intelligence, he will understand teaching. Go to Amos 5:20.
Okay.
And that's page 876.
Thank you.
I'm not gonna, it's a small little book. We're using it.
Amos what?
Chapter 5, verse 10. They hate the man who in the gate rebuketh, and him that speaketh truthfully they what?
Abhor.
Huh. So if we speak the truth by correcting and rebuking people, are we going to be liked? By a wise man, we're going to be liked. By a scoffer, we're going to be what? Hated. Because they don't want the truth, very simply. So accepting reproof, and what we're going to go through here, is it stops misery. And so when you think about that, the guy head of the Sedgwick County Republican Party, Dalton Glasscock, is a homosexual. He's chosen homosexuality. I have offered him reproof. He has not accepted it. Is his life going to be better by not accepting that, or worse?
Worse.
He's going to maintain homosexuality. Is that death?
No.
Are you going to die prematurely?
Yeah.
Yes. Are you going to get demonized? Yes, you are.
You are
so
demonized.
Accepting reproof stops misery. And we're going to see that in Deuteronomy 28. You go, I don't want reproof. Okay. I mean, so be it.
Deuteronomy what? 28?
28. This is very symbolic, and we're going to look at history that Yahweh gives us of self-inflicted wounds because of our disobedience on what Yahweh says. And reproof always should be coming from this. If it's not from this, it really doesn't matter. I mean, it's a personal opinion the person goes into. But if a person says there's three gods, then that's not true, and that's actually breaking the first and second commandment. You need to know about that. Your life's not going to be better by doing that. 28:15, we're going to see, and this is the blessing and the curse. But it shall be, if thou dost not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy Elohim, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding thee today, then shall come in upon thee all these curses and shall reach thee. Wow, so it's very simply. And what we'll do, our reproof should always be in according to the Word. The Word's reproving us. And we go to 49, same chapter, you know, chapter 28, verse 49 to 57. Here's it. If you don't do what Yahweh says, Yahweh will bring against thee a nation from afar, from the end of the earth, as darted a bird of prey, a nation whose tongue thou canst not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, who will not respect an elder, nor to the young show favor. Now, you know, think of all these countries in Europe through World War I or World War II being taken over. How does this pertain? 51. Then shall he eat the young of thy cattle and the fruit of thy ground until thou art destroyed, who will not leave for thee corn, new wine or oil, the young of the kine, or the ewes of the flock, until he hath caused thee to perish. And he shall lay siege to thee in all thy gates until thy high and fortified walls come down, wherein thou wast trusting, in all thy land. Yea, he will lay siege to thee in all thy gates and all thy land which Yahweh thy Elohim hath given unto thee. And thou wilt eat the fruit of the body and the flesh of the sons of thy daughters, whom Yahweh thy Elohim hath given unto thee, in the siege and in the straitness wherein thy enemy will straiten thee. You're going to be cannibals. The man that is tender among you and exceedingly delicate, his eyes will be jealous of his brethren, of his wife, of his bosom, and of the remnant of his sons whom he might leave behind, so that he will not give to any one of them of the flesh of his sons, which he will eat, because he hath nothing at all left him. In the siege and in the straitness wherein thy enemy will straiten thee within all thy gates, the tender and delicate woman among you who hath never adventured the sole of her foot to set it upon the ground through delicateness and through tenderness, her eyes shall be jealous of the husband of her bosom and of her own son and her own daughter, both as to her afterbirth that cometh forth from between her feet and as to her children which she shall bear, for she will eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thy enemy will station thee within thy own gate.
That's happy.
Yes, and that is why? Because you will not receive what?
Reproof.
Reproof. This happens in 2 Kings 6. Let's go to 2 Kings 6.
I think blames a prophet.
Yeah. 2 Kings 6. And so this is where the people of Yahweh are going to fulfill this. It was told, you know, it was told in the Word. 6:24-29. You want to read that, Wendy?
It's that.
Second Kings 6.
What verse?
24-29.
But it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered together all his host and came up and laid siege against Samaria. And there came to be a great famine in Samaria, and lo, they continued the siege against it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and 1 pint of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And so it was that as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman made outcry unto him, saying, "Save my lord, O king." And he said, "If Yahweh do not save thee, whence should I save thee? Out of the threshing floor, or out of the winepress?" And the king said to her, "What aileth thee?" And she said, "This woman said unto me, Give thy son that we may eat him today, and my son we will eat tomorrow. So we cooked my son and did eat him. And I said unto her the next day, Give thy son that we may eat him. And she had hid her son."
We'll stop there. Now, were these people better off by rebuking or resisting the word of Yahweh? Were prophets sent to them?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, prophets are always sent. And that this is Samaria, that this is the consequences of not receiving reproof. So accepting reproof stops misery. And we're going to watch another situation is Zedekiah. And that's Jeremiah 34. Isaiah, Jeremiah. And all avoidable. We look at the United States in the same situation of people with this sodomy coming in the United States with partial birth abortion. And at least it was done by judges, but for the people, it is the downfall of the nation because it is an abomination to Yahweh of what they're going with. And if we're silent on that matter, we're going to see consequences for us also. So we've got to speak up. At 34, Jeremiah 34, 1 through 5. This is about Zedekiah. They are under siege. And here's something else. We all know about Nebuchadnezzar. Israel, the 10 tribes, has fallen. So they're gone. This is 150 years later with Judah. And now Yahweh says, Judah has become worse than nations that were rejected out of the land of Canaan. So that's how bad the religious people have come.
Judah was the only good one.
but not now. They're worse than Samaria. He'll say they're worse than Samaritans, and they're worse than the people that Canaan, that Yahweh vomited them out of the land. That's how much corruption that they've done, the wickedness they've done. So Yahweh sends Nebuchadnezzar to correct this situation. And who is helping guide Nebuchadnezzar? Daniel. Right, Daniel's second in command to Nebuchadnezzar, right? And you got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego help running, working with Nebuchadnezzar. Yahweh is giving Nebuchadnezzar this, and he also gives him Egypt. And here is an unbeliever. It was at one time, and obviously he becomes a believer, and he calls Nebuchadnezzar his servant. Now, Zechariah, looks like they're attacking him. Yahweh has sent Nebuchadnezzar because these people have become so wicked that he's going to vomit them out for 70 years. That Israel, his own children, become so wicked. And so he's telling them, give up. So Jeremiah, is it reproof? So Jeremiah is going to speak reproof to these people to say, let him come in, surrender. And that's our emphasis. The word which came unto Jeremiah from Yahweh when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his forces and all the kingdoms of the earth, dominion of his hand, and all the people were fighting against Jerusalem and against all her cities, saying, thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, go and speak unto Zedekiah, who is the king of Judah, and say unto him, thus saith Yahweh, behold me giving this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he will burn it with fire. And thou shalt not escape out of his hands, for thou shalt be taken, and into his hands shalt thou be delivered, and thine own eyes into the eyes of the king of Babylon shall look, and his mouth with thy mouth shall speak, and Babylon shalt thou enter. Nevertheless, hear the word of Yahweh, O Zedekiah, king of Judah. Thus saith Yahweh concerning thee, thou shalt not die by the sword. In peace shalt thou die, and with the burning made for the fathers, the former kings who were before thee, so shalt thou make a burning unto thee, and with it at last, Lord, shall they lament thee, because of the word I have spoken, declareth Yahweh. So he's trying to get him to give up. Now we go to chapter 38.
Yeah.
And so this is the whole story. But Zedekiah keeps sending people to him and trying to get counsel. But
Jeremiah keeps sending.
Zedekiah will send people to get Jeremiah's word. What should I do? Jeremiah is saying, give up. Well, the people, the princes, are going to kill me if I say surrender the city.
Yeah.
But he said, no, they won't. So he's not going to take the reproof. Our subject is, reproof is deliverance from misfortune. When I do not accept reproof, I'm going to accept misery. 2 through 6, and you want to read that, Wendy?
Chapter 38, 2 through 6. Thus saith Yahweh, he that remaineth in this city shall die, by sword, by famine, or by pestilence. Whereas he that goeth forth unto the Chaldeans shall live, so shall he have his life for a spoil and shall live.
That's very simple. It. There it is.
Yahweh.
Keep going.
This city shall surely be given into the hand of the force of the king of Babylon, and he shall capture it. Then said the princes unto the king, let this man, we pray thee, be put to death. For in this way is he weakening the hands of the men of war who are left in the city in the hands of the people, by speaking unto them such words as these. For this man is not seeking prosperity for this people, but for misfortune.
Well, why is he doing that? Because it's the truth. So people don't want reproof. They want
Is it reproof or instruction?
He's telling them to surrender.
And
these people are so they're going to try to kill the messenger. And that's the same way with us. If we are willing to offer and be the mouthpiece of Yahweh by his word, if we're willing to do that, this can come on to us too. Verse 5.
Then said King Zedekiah, lo, he is in your hand, for the king is not one who is able to do anything against you. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malachiah, son of the king, which was in the grand court. And they let Jeremiah down with ropes. Now in the dungeon was no water, only mire. So Jeremiah sank in the mire.
Well, thanks for opening your mouth. So why do some people not give reproof? Because scoffers hate it. Wise men, what?
They
love it. Very simply. 39, and we're going to see the end of Zedekiah, which is a sad, sad state because
what's
he didn't...
What's mire?
Mire is like a mud, I think. So what this was water at one time, so it's probably just slush, mud, and so he probably sunk up to his waist up into sewage. It might have been sewer, too. 39:4-7. Let's see what the consequences of Zedekiah not receiving the reproof. And it came to pass, as soon as Zedekiah king of Judah and all the men of war saw them, that they fled and went forth by night out of the city by way of the king's garden through the gate between the two walls, and he went forth by way of the waste plains. But the force of the Chaldeans pursued them and overtook Zedekiah in the way plain of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him unto Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath, and pronounced upon him sentence of judgment. And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Now look at this. By not receiving reproof. And all the nobles of Judah did the king of Babylon slay. All the ones who were saying, don't listen to Jeremiah. And the eyes of Zedekiah did he what?
He put out.
And bound him with fetters of bronze to bring him into Babylon. That was the consequences of not receiving reproof. And so the person who's a homosexual is not receiving reproof. And it says, after two or three occurrences, you let him go. But the consequences are devastating. Now, when we go to, let's go to Ezekiel 33, about speaking the truth. So Jeremiah and Ezekiel, the lamentation of Ezekiel, 33, verse 6 through 9. And there's consequences of speaking the truth in love. Our job are to be the hands and the feet and the mouth of Christ and our Father. That we must be able to speak the truth in love.
I'm sorry, would you repeat
Ezekiel
that?
33, verses 6 through 9. And this is, you need to read all of 33 and all of 18 also. It really shows you the whole story of mankind. It's about when you sin, you got to repent, and if you repent, you will live. And if you sin, and if you don't sin, but then you do a lot of good things, and then you sin, thinking your good things are going to keep you in good sake with Yahweh. That's not the case. You're going to die, and that's probably what happened to King Solomon. So he did a lot of really good things, and then at the end, he did some very bad things. Horrible things. And so he might not be, and he's going to die, might not even be in the new earth. Why Nebuchadnezzar? What? He's going to be there. You see, after Nebuchadnezzar, after he was smitten for 7 years as an animal, and then he comes back and praises Yahweh, after all this. I mean, you're like, will Nebuchadnezzar be in there, but Solomon's not? Yeah, probably. Wow, is that a strange deal? But the job is, the watchman on a wall was supposed to do what?
Watch
for what?
Enemies.
Yeah, enemies. And so when he sees things, he's supposed to give the information to the people. So if you see a friend, Kaylee, and you know what the word says, and Kaylee's about ready to do something that the word forbids, you have two choices. Or three. One is say, go for it, girl. The other one is silence. Or the third is say, you can't do that, Kaylee. See? That's the choice. As a watchman, that's what the watchman's supposed to do. As for the watchman, when he seeth the sword coming, and
wait a minute, where are we? I'm sorry.
Six, chapter 33, verse 6. Ezekiel 33, verse 6. But as for the watchman, when he seeth the sword coming, and hath not blown with the horn, do not send a warning. So when you see people in their lives going a wrong way, have you sounded the horn? Have you warned them? And the people have not been warned, and the sword hath come and taken away from among them any person, he for his iniquity hath been taken away. But the blood at the hand of the watchman will I require.
His blood.
Yeah, we're going to be accountable for things we did not do. It's not only for the things that we did, but it's the silence that we stood by when something happened. And we need to read the whole chapter. Now we go to Galatians 4:16. Does a person like to be a parent? Because generally the kid's going to say, I hate you, when they're a true parent. And so there's many people who don't become parents, they become friends of their children, allow them to do what they want to do.
What chapter?
4:16. Read that, Melania.
So then your enemy have I become by dealing truthfully with you.
Well, okay, very simple. So Paul is sending out a letter, and he sends out to the Corinthians and says, what the hell are you guys doing? Right? And then he comes to the Galatians, what are you doing? You're starting to circumcise yourself again. What are you doing this? And so he's speaking the truth, and what happens? Right here, 16. So then your enemy have I become by dealing truthfully with you? Is that what happened to Jeremiah? Yes. He became the enemy of Jerusalem for speaking the truth. But guess what? He, Nebuchadnezzar, let him go wherever he wanted. He was freed and given money while Zedekiah's eyes were put out and the nobles were put to death. We go to Matthew 18, verse 15. And even if it didn't happen, we still want to be on Yahweh's side and on Christ's side of doing what is pleasing to our Savior. You know, our Savior died for us. Now, you're looking at this as excruciating torture that he went through. And for one purpose, that we will live for him. So we call him boss, right? Then you say, you call me Lord, Lord, but do not what I say. Why do you call me Lord when you don't obey me? Okay, 18, verse 15. But if thy brother sin, withdraw, convince him betwixt thee and him alone. If unto thee hearkeneth, thou hast gained thy brother. Very simply. If your brother sin, what are you supposed to do, Melania? Go talk to him. Yeah, very simply. Ephesians 5:11. And if the person is a wise person, they're going to love you for it. If the person is a scoffer, they're going to do what? Hate you for it. And that's why people don't do it, because they're afraid they're going to lose their connection.
Where are we?
Chapter 5, verse 11 through 13. Be not joining in fellowship in the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather be even administering what?
Reproof
against the unfruitful works of darkness. And of the secret things which are brought to pass by them, it is shameful even to speak. All things... Go ahead and stop. Just listen.
Okay.
You're lost.
Okay.
All things, however, when reproved by the light, becometh manifest. For all that of itself maketh manifest is light. Wherefore it saith, up thou sleep and arise from... arise from the dead, and the Christ shall shine upon thee. Very simply, we are supposed to bring reproof and light. And that's what we do against the Democratic Party. We do it against Christianity in a in a very pleasing way if we see somebody and try to be in a humble way. Galatians, let's go back to Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man should even be overtaken in any fault, ye the spiritual, be restoring such a one in the spirit of meekness. Look unto thyself, lest even thou be put to the test. So it's our duty when we see somebody doing an error to bring that to their attention in the spirit of meekness, not as haughty that I don't do that stupid thing that you're doing. No, it's, do you know what the Word says about that? You know what the Bible says about that? And let's see what the Bible says about that. And so I just got a Christmas card from the Sedgwick County Republican Party, who has the homosexual as the leader. To me, that's blasphemy to have a Christmas card. People who are practicing sodomy sending out Christmas cards. So what did I do? I responded back to him, and here's scripture. No sodomite shall inherit the kingdom of God. Very simply. Also, that we're all going to be judged for the three other people who are accepting his position, because he was voted in. They're also involved by being quiet. And the problem is that we know that in 1 Corinthians 5:9, you're not supposed to eat with somebody who's in that situation, and you're supposed to reject that person, get him out of your midst. You're not doing that. So the three people there are not doing that. They should say, you resign, or we're going to resign. Very simply. Because they've compromised. And then in 2 Corinthians 5, it talks about, and that's why I put all these verses here. Here's what the scripture, I didn't say it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything. Here, boom, boom.
No kill messenger.
No, man, yeah. I mean, if you like it, go take it to the boss. And then it says, we will all be judged in front of the judgment seat of Christ for the good and for the corrupt. And so if you allowed that to happen, take it. Yeah, very simply. Yeah, 1 Timothy 5:20. Now, this is the prophet. So Timothy was a prophet. 5:20. So we're going to see it over and over. Did Apostle Paul reprove a very high up person, even higher than he was?
Peter.
Yeah, Peter. How's that? Did he even write it down to tell the world?
Yeah.
Yes, in Galatians. And Peter was when eating with the nations, you know, were not Hebrews, but when the Hebrews came around, he fled from the nations and acted like he wasn't eating with the nations. That's in Galatians 2. And Paul went right to the face and said, before you all, that's sin. And so Peter got put on the books for that. Christ told him to write this, the book of Galatians. But Peter is reproved for 2,000 years of where he fell short. And he's the head of the church at that particular time. So if anybody can do it, if Peter was a good enough person, then he took it. And he wrote 1 Peter and 2 Peter. All right, great man. We all slip up. 5:20. But when the leader slips up, other people were following him also, because he's the top guy, and even Barnabas followed him. Yeah, Barnabas followed him. And so that's the point of it. Many times these head teachers and head leaders, that when Kenneth Copeland says something like that, he has sheep following him right off the cliff.
Yeah, he's not alone.
Yeah, he's not alone. 5:20. But them who are sinning before all, do thou what?
Reprove.
That the rest also may have what?
Fear.
Fear. Okay. 2 Timothy 4:2. This is still to Timothy. Proclaim the word. Take thy position in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, encourage with all longsuffering and teaching. So obviously, we encourage, we teach the truth. All this comes about, but reproof. Aaron spoke this at one teaching. I thought, well, that's very good, because reproof is not something that we should avoid. It should be something that we embrace. You know, that if I'm off this word, I want to know it. I don't want to be a hypocrite. And all of a sudden, Christ comes back and says, hey, you really pissed me off doing this.
I don't think he'd say that.
Well, yeah, I think it really comes down to why, because you're in rebellion. Well, I thought I was teaching the truth. Well, I sent this person, and then I sent this person. Remember this? Here, let's do a little video. And I said, this person, remember Bob? He came and talked to you about it. And then James came and talked to you about it. And then what did you do? You shut the door on him. And you kept it on for 40 years. What do you think? Do you think that Kenneth Copeland has not been approached? Do you think any Franklin Graham or Billy Graham has not been approached on the errors that they teach? Of course they have. Of course they have. But they have shut the doors. And I thought, I mean, you can't get upset because you have to say guilty as charged. Now we go to Revelation 3:19. We ended it right there. And so we've got to embrace reproof. And if we don't, what are we? Melania?
Scoffers.
A scoffer. I mean, do you really want to be in that situation? Christ comes back and goes, okay, the wise people over here and the scoffers over here. Chuck, you're right over there on the scoffer. I'm on the scoffer side? Yes, you're on the scoffer side. You're like, oh.
Blaine does not.
Oh, man, did I? Like, so tonight, let's ask Yahweh and Christ to send somebody to us. So wherever we're doing something wrong, please, it could be by letter, it could be by phone call, it could be by a TV program, it could be by your word, it could be a radio program. You know, we get correction and instruction all the time. All of a sudden, let the lights come on. I don't want to be this, because in 3:19, I, as many as I tenderly love, I convict and put under discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Very simply, it is correction is part of life.
No, I'm standing at the door and knocking.
Yes, correction is part of life, and if we close that door of correction, we are going to hurt ourselves. So, reproof is deliverance. Okay, we'll go ahead and hear from our Heavenly Father in, according to 1 Corinthians 14, on prophecies, which are words of edification, exhortation, and comfort to build up the assembly, to edify, build up the assembly. So, Father, we thank you for these words. And right now, we all of us should be asking to send people to come knocking at our doors. And guess what? It's going to hurt us. We're not going to really want it. But we know that I don't want to be a scoffer. We want to be wise individuals who take that. So we thank you for that love for us. And even if they're not gentle, we take it anyway. So we thank you for these words through Christ our Lord. Be bold and courageous. You are victorious. You are my victors. And I have put my Ruach HaKodesh inside of you in order that you may expel the powers of darkness, in order that you may bring deliverance to my people who are in need. You are my sons and my daughters who I've given incredible powers at this day and time. If you activate that, you must activate it. It does not come naturally, but you have the Ruach that has been inscribed into you in order to capitulate and bring the captives free and set the captives free in order that you may give them life that's more than abundant. Amen. See you next week.
Amen.